Hey friends, you've probably heard me mention ButcherBox on here before, but if you haven't tried it, I gotta wonder, maybe you just hate deals? ButcherBox is high-quality meat and seafood you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep. It takes the guesswork out of shopping, and it is a godsend when it comes to saving me money and time. And here's the thing. If you're going to be cooking meat or seafood, just give it a try for a month and see if you like it. It feels decadent to have a freezer stocked with your favorite ingredients, and truly, who else is offering you free protein for a year? That's manna from heaven. What even is manna, by the way? Anyway, today, ButcherBox is giving mega listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/mega, and use code MEGA to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/mega, and use the code MEGA.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
This episode is dedicated to Jason Smith, our friend and producer at Starburns Audio. Fly high, you beautiful spirit. Your big laughs will be missed.
Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch.
Easter.
I'm Hallie Labonte, and this is Mega, coming to you from Twin Hills Community Church, where we're giving our mega church a tiny family feel by introducing you to members of our church staff and our community. Ooh, today it's someone from our Easter production. It is a true treat, and it is a treasure. Well, per usual, I'm joined by my co-host. He's the youth pastor for our high school ministry called Climax. Please welcome Gray Hives, everybody.
He is risen indeed. Hey, Hallie, how are you?
He is risen indeed.
Or he's Rizzy, is what a lot of my kids are saying these days.
Okay,
isn't that cool?
That's so cool. How has your Good Friday and Easter been? Your Passion Week, how's it going, my brother?
Hallie, I've got to tell you, I have just had a jam-packed week with my kids. I had all sorts of events and activities planned all week. Let's see, where to start? I did a blood, sweat, and cheers prayer challenge.
Awesome.
Which is really fun. Basically what we did, Hallie, is we kind of all got together out on the lawn like we were in the garden and of Gethsemane, and we had this competition to see who could pray hardest like Jesus did in the garden, and then whoever did, they got red Gatorade dumped all over them like they had just sweat blood.
That's
a cool one. And then we did a thing called Good Friday Night Live.
Awesome.
Where we did skits about all the disciples.
Ooh, any highlights?
Well, the teens did this really funny skit, Hallie, that I had never seen before, where they made a line and each teen would brush their teeth,
okay,
and spit into a cup.
Ew.
And then they had 12 of them up there, and the last one was Judas, and he had to drink it.
Oh,
so that was gross. I'm not really sure what the joke was. It was just gross.
Kids love that stuff, though. They think it's so cool and funny.
No,
that's
it was awesome.
Awesome.
And then, you know, I came up and I just did one of my mango impressions, which was fun.
Who's Mango?
Oh, Chris Kattan.
Who's that?
Like the funniest guy to ever be on Saturday Night Live, Hallie.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know him. What's the impression like?
Oh, I'm not going to do it for you. Anyway, we had Last Supper pizza party, which was really fun.
Oh,
even
that's
though
awesome.
I know, but you know, Pizza Hut sent me the wrong pizzas.
Oh no!
I know. So that
for
was
such a sacred night.
I know, and I wanted thin crust so I could do a whole thing about unleavened bread. And
oh,
then
a
they
thin
sent,
crust
right.
would be like what Jesus would be eating.
Exactly. But you know, friggin' Pizza Hut, they messed it up and they sent stuffed crust.
Oh no.
Which is just a bummer because they put hot dogs in the crust and that is not what Jesus would be eating. And, you know, all the kids loved it, of course.
Oh, well,
and I was
good.
Like, okay, totally ruined my teaching moment, Pizza Hut.
Oh, yeah, you don't really get to pull on the, like, teaching metaphor.
Exactly. Anyway, I was totally exhausted, but it was such a positive and great week.
Awesome. Well, did you get to unwind with your bud, Clay Mason Bannerman?
Who?
Your bud that you've mentioned before, Clay Mason Bannerman?
Huh, not really ringing a bell.
Oh, really? Nope.
No. Oh, yeah, I guess I kind of remember. Yeah, there was a, yep, you know, I haven't seen him in a while. So.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, whatever.
Huh.
How was your week, Allie?
Well, I just like you, we have been on fire. I mean, not just for Christ, but also for, you know, our schedules have been jam-packed because we had the Good Friday services. We had 19 different Good Friday services all on Friday.
Amazing.
And those are very somber services where
totally.
We really, you know, the praise and worship team, they're doing music that is all in minor keys and the whole lighting grid is kind of dimmed, you know. We have a lot of candles lit on stage in the auditorium. We pass out candles to everyone who comes in. It's going to be a whole experience. They do the Via Dolorosa work coming into the parking lot.
They put all the cones out in the parking lot. You've got to drive through.
Yeah, and we had our volunteer cars parking ministry people shout taunts and jeers at people while they were trying to like park their cars in the parking lot.
So powerful.
People didn't have their cars' windows down, so they didn't even hear it, but it didn't matter because as soon as people came in through the front entrance on foot, we had them go down these dark corridors. We'd set up all this black pipe and drape.
Oh, I saw that with all the trash bags on the walls.
Yes. And so people were going and we were saying, you know, right when you came in, you could opt to carry something heavy as if you were Christ lugging the cross.
Okay.
Or if you have sciatica or whatnot and you're like, I can't really carry something heavy. We're like, no problem. Just go on your own. You'll still have the experience of Jesus carrying the cross because we had hired a lot of people to, again, taunt and jeer people as they were going. So, and they're up over the pipe and drape looking down on them. And so they'd be like, your bald spot isn't hidden at all.
Oh,
you know,
wow,
you're
powerful.
Pretty top heavy. Have you ever thought about breast reduction? Like real personalized things to make people realize like how Jesus felt such jabs of
totally.
Like specific pain as people taunted and jeered at him.
Play what it must have been like.
We only had one problem in all 19 services. Well, it happened in a few of the services, but not all of them. But somebody was in the dark passageways that we were having everybody go down, imagining that they were Jesus, you know, going through the stages of the cross. There was somebody in the dark passageways who was groping people.
Oh, no. Well, you know, that could happen to Jesus, too. You never know.
We'll see. That's a good point.
Right.
So anyway, then when you came out into the main auditorium, it was all candlelit and we gave everyone their own candle because at one point in the Good Friday service, everybody's going to be lighting their own candle.
I love it. So
very,
powerful.
Very powerful. Unfortunately, we didn't get the candles that have the little paper saucer around the shaft
okay.
to kind of catch some of the wax that's
right.
dropping
the wax,
and dripping.
The shaft wax catcher, yeah.
Yeah, from the fire. It's very hot.
Right. Oh, right.
So we... I mean, of the thousands of people that we serviced, unfortunately, it was just under 300 people actually had to get treated for second degree burns because the wax was dripping on people so badly that it was burning
wax.
Their hands.
It can really hurt, yeah.
But you know what? A lead pastor, Steve, he just preached right through it. I think he thought people were having powerful emotional experiences, thinking about the death and the torment that Jesus went through while he was thinking of each one of us individually.
Right,
while he
and they're
was...
getting a taste of that as they're listening.
Yeah, that's true. So it all went off without a hitch. We only had one time where the way the whole Good Friday service ended was that Brett Schmitz in our props department, he had made this massive boulder and the rock rolls in front of the tomb.
Yes, I love that part.
So
yeah.
We put Jesus' body in the tomb on Good Friday night and we did it 19 times and then the big boulder comes in. Whole room goes to black.
Cool.
Very cool because we know what's coming. Sunday morning it's going to be like... an explosion of light and sound and music and
right.
everything. But on one of our Good Friday services, it was the 13th time we did it and only happened once. The boulder was rolling in front of the tomb. It did not click into place. It kept rolling. It rolled off the stage, up the aisle. There was a volunteer usher who starts running for his life.
Oh no, it's like Indiana Jones.
Exactly. It smooshes him like Wile E. Coyote.
Oh no.
And he was hospitalized.
Oh, Allie. Well, you know what? I bet he was the one getting handsy in the hallways, and this was God's way of telling us.
See, that could be very true.
So how's he doing?
The really cool thing that happened here is that we put him into the ICU Friday night on Good Friday. Guess what?
What?
He was released Sunday morning.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, that is a God thing.
Right? It's a God thing.
He is risen indeed.
Indeed. Just like
Jesus was hanging on the cross. Well, our guest today actually is playing Jesus hanging on a cross, and today he's hanging out with us. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Mason Janzoukas.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. It is truly, it's an honor to be here with you guys today. I'm, you know, excited to talk about this upcoming performance and really get into it. You know, I'm very honored that you are having me on this show. I've never been on a show like this before.
Oh, Mason, it's so nice to see you. And I just want to tell everyone that is listening, I would say that this guy is one of my favorite actors, Jesus, that has played Jesus in all the years that I've been at Twin Hills. We've had different Easter performances, but what you are doing up there is just unbelievable. And it's so exciting.
I'll be honest with you. You know, before I got the part, I didn't know a lot about the role.
Oh, really?
No, I didn't know too much about, you know, Jesus.
Really?
Really beyond just very surface level stuff, you know. So you know, I really, you know, got to do some research and really dig in on a character. You know, you really want to, you know, as an actor, my process, my craft is to hone and understand a character from the inside out, the outside in.
Okay. Now, what's that called? Is that method acting? Is that Meisner? What is that called when you learn them from the inside out?
Well, you know, for me, I try and take from everybody, from the method, from Meisner, from Stella Adler, from any of the teachers, the gurus. Ooh. Of acting. You know, I've read all of their Wikipedias and understand their teachings completely. You know, my training comes from a local community college, an adult education program that I did 3 acting classes in, and I graduated at the top of my class in a performance of Death of a Salesman, which was not well reviewed, but was successful in its run.
That is fantastic. And I mean, and you know, people can't see you, but you're a very young guy. I would say, you know, how old are you?
Oh, I'm 23 years old.
I mean, to play Death of a Salesman, you know, at 23 years old, that's fantastic.
Oh, it was, I'll be honest with you, it was electric to do. But, you know, to take on the world weariness of Willie Loman. And I also played Biff and Hap.
Oh, it was a one-man show.
It was not quite a one-man show. It was just me and an actress who played the female part, and then I played all the male parts. And please, if you're hearing this, you know, trust that I really tried to do something that was truthful and reveal the truth about the human condition. The reviewers did not feel the same, but again, we did finish our run. We were scheduled to do 4 performances, 2 Fridays and 2 Saturdays, and we completed that run, and that is a victory.
You know, Harry, I mean, this really makes a lot of sense to me, because a scene that I would really like to point to, and no spoilers, but I do want to point out that something that Mason does in this performance, because I did watch you guys do dress rehearsal, is you both play Jesus. You also play at one point Pontius Pilate sending Jesus to the cross, and then you even jumped off the cross at one point and you played the Roman centurion stabbing Jesus in the side.
Yep.
And I just thought, how is this guy kind of doing all 3 of these parts at once? And that must have been from your experience doing, you know, all the whole Loman family.
Yes. You know, I took that model and I applied it to the play that we're doing. And again, I'll be truthful. I did not know this story.
Oh.
I did not know this story about Jesus and Pontius Pilate and Judas, of course, a very juicy role.
Right.
And to be crucified, I didn't know what that was. I had to watch some videos. So all of this stuff, I started to realize once I got the part, and I started to do my research and build a character bio. You know, I've basically written my own character bio for this character, Jesus. So, you know, I know he's based on a real person, but I want to give him my flavor.
Right.
You know. This is not just a Jesus. This isn't some Jesus from a movie or something like that. This is my flavor of this character, you know, because I started to ask myself questions as I was getting into it. Like, does he have to die? Like, what if I played him as someone who lives?
Wow.
Like, you know, like Harry Potter, the boy who lived, a modern Christ-like figure, you know, from history, you know.
Right, right.
I mean, yeah, that is an interesting question. I mean, I guess he does, you know, there is a version where I guess he does, you know, he does live because 3 days later he does rise from the dead. But I guess, yeah, I never thought
but
of
what if he doesn't die at all?
Okay.
What if he doesn't even have to rise from the dead? What if he just doesn't even die? Think about that for a second, right? Think about it from a character standpoint, right? That he withstands the crucifixion, the stabbing, the starvation, the crown of thorns, the 12 stations of the cross, all of that, but still lives? I mean, now that's a god.
Wow, I'd never thought of that. What if he just physically withstands the grip of death?
Yes.
And the Grim Reaper's standing there and he's hanging on the cross going, not today.
Well, you know, Hallie, I'm not, yeah, I guess so. But, you know, then, you know, with the whole sort of atonement in all of that, I don't
That's
know, it gets
true.
Too tricky. You know, one thing I did wonder was, what were some of the things that you came up with for the character of Jesus in this little bio you made that we actually didn't know about from the New Testament? Because that might be kind of interesting, you know what
well,
I mean?
You know, there's a lot that we understand about his past as a carpenter,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And that, at the time, you know, you're really talking about, like, a lot of very heavy manual labor.
Right.
You know, he's not just, you know, he's not like a furniture maker or something like that. So for me, I felt like he would be jacked.
Totally.
You know, he's going to be very physical. He's going to have to be responsible for doing and lifting and working with heavy items and heavy implements. So I have spent the last 6 months doing CrossFit every day.
Wow.
And I'm at my physical peak.
Okay. I mean,
wow.
This is so exciting to me, Hallie, because I've said this time and time again, and I think, you know, I've done CrossFit now for 9 years. I do it every single day of the week. And so, as you know, it's the best workout. You don't get a better workout.
And you can go as hard as you want
as hard
every
as you
day,
want. Every
and
day.
I've never gotten an injury.
Ugh.
I've never gotten a single injury.
Amazing. I mean, I could tell Hallie when I saw him up on the cross, I said, this guy does CrossFit and I'm not making a joke. You know, I'm not making a joke about the cross. I'm saying I could tell from his body type, because what you see, Hallie, is he's got lean muscle mass. He's got a lot of power in his legs.
Yeah, fast twitch. My fast twitch muscles are out of control.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And, you know, when they were trying to put the sponge of vinegar in your mouth, and I could tell when you were ducking out of the way, I was like, this guy has done CrossFit some kind of really high performance sport. So that is awesome. I love to hear that.
Oh, no. I mean, like, I am lean. I'm on a strictly plant-based diet. For me, I am at this point, you know, now plant-based. I went paleo for a long time because paleo seemed to me to be of the time.
Right. Yeah, totally.
But then I still had a little bit of weight on me that I didn't like. I wanted to be as lean as possible. So I went straight plant-based. And I'm hydrating. I'm drinking 3 gallons of water a day. The vascularity on my body is out of control. I'm taking a lot of supplements, like a
awesome.
Tremendous amount of supplements.
I could tell the pump is amazing. Even when you were climbing, because instead, you know, Hallie, instead of them putting him up there, another thing he does is he does what's called kipping. So when he got up on the cross, he was actually lifting himself up on the cross and sort of kipping his body up. It was
wow.
really fantastic.
One of the challenges of this role that I really saw, because as an actor, you're not just interacting with the other actors in the piece, you're also interacting with the space itself.
Oh, right.
Wow.
And when I saw the size of Twin Hills inside, I thought to myself, I'm going to free solo this. I asked them to build me a cross that is as tall as the church's ceiling.
Yeah.
And I, using just handholds, free solo up that cross, and I get up there myself.
It's an 85-foot cross, Hallie.
Yeah.
It's an 85-foot cross.
I know.
Every person in the audience will be given small binoculars so that they can see me when I'm at the top of the cross.
It's so
I tell
great.
You what, Mason, I gotta be honest. I was in there for a few of the dress rehearsals, and I says to myself, when I saw you climbing up that cross, and then when you stretch your arms out wide to get, you know, actually crucified, I said, and you're shirtless, you got nothing but a loincloth on, it looks like you've been hitting the tanning bed, and I says, I'm afraid this is going to make a lot of gals in the audience stumble in the flesh. And but you know what? I think the fact that we know it's Jesus,
right.
who is the lover of our soul,
sure.
of our souls, you know, it's going to be okay. And I do have to say, I heard about how they, when they were putting the spikes, is it that someone comes out of the flies to actually pierce your hands with the with the spikes.
Yeah, yeah. They've got somebody on ropes that comes down Mission Impossible style.
Awesome.
I mean, they're dressed in you know, of course, Roman garb.
Right.
But that's so they come down and they hammer it in. But I did get hurt because. This is embarrassing. This is a little bit of, I think, the actor's method. I said, do it for real.
Oh, really? Those were real spikes?
Whoa. I said, and this was, you know, I just that first time, because I thought to myself, I can do this. You know, like, I can do this. I can hang from this cross 85 feet in the air with nothing but nails in my hand.
Whoa. And
amazing.
And this is after you already, I heard that in one rehearsal that the retractable knife didn't retract when you were trying to stab yourself.
Well, that was a mistake. That was, you know, we are now using a retractable knife.
Okay. Okay.
Because that was another, I am chasing authenticity. I want this audience to think they are looking at Jesus Christ, the lead character from their favorite book, brought to life.
Yes.
Totally.
Yes. And is that a real beard or is that a prosthetic for the show?
Oh, yeah. No. This is a real beard. I don't think there are prosthetic beards. I mean, there are fake beards, but I don't think they are like prostheses.
Oh, you know?
So this is a real beard. I've been growing my hair and my beard in anticipation for this role.
That's amazing. A good beard for 23. I'll tell you right now.
Oh, thank you so much.
So Mason, I just do want to find out, because I think a lot of people listening to this would be going, you know, this is a guy who's a real thespian. You know, he's somebody that's really taking his job so seriously. And I've got to ask, what led you to become, to really focus on acting when you were there studying at, you know, did you always dream of becoming an actor?
No, not at all.
Really?
You know, I spent my life, for many years thinking I was going to follow in my father's footsteps and be a radiologist.
Oh.
You know, that seemed to me to be just like the path to success and true happiness, you know. I'm on campus staring at the bulletin board because I needed a ride someplace and was looking to share the car of someone who could drive me someplace. I don't have a license right now for reasons I'd rather not get into.
Oh,
but
no.
I saw that there was a flyer up for auditions for a play called Who Is Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Oh.
So I thought that struck me as something interesting, you know?
Totally.
So I ripped off one of the little tabs and I went to the audition and I didn't get it.
Oh.
But I ended up sleeping with the woman who was directing the show.
Oh my.
And as a result of that and hearing her kind of talk about it a lot, we ultimately broke up, it was her choice, not mine. I truthfully would still be with her if I could be. She's arguably the love of my life. But her passion for the production she was doing of this play so eclipsed the passion that she had in our shared bed that I was like, I need to get into this.
Oh, okay.
I need to get into this acting.
Wow.
Just to try and impress her. So that's what I've been doing. I've been trying to get roles. I send her emails telling her what I'm going to, I sent her, you know, the minute this was a solid role that I knew I was going to have, I send her email almost every day, text, email. I think I'm blocked right now, but I tell her it's happening. I am the star. I sent her an email just today that just said, I am Jesus Christ.
Oh, cool. She'll be impressed by that.
Well, and I think what we're hearing here, Hallie, is that, you know, maybe Mason has seen, you know, maybe he has made some mistakes, but on his path toward this passion, you know, literally his calling, even though he has stumbled, what we're hearing is that finally, you know, God put at his feet this amazing part in this amazing role. So I guess if I had some of my teens listening right now, I would say, you know, Mason, maybe he shouldn't have gone sleeping with this lady, but look what happens once that, you know, once he sort of, renounce that, but I guess what you're saying is, you know, because that went away, then you got to really focus on something positive.
Well, it's that the Lord moves in mysterious ways. Isn't that right, Mason?
Well, that's exactly like the U2 song.
And Mason, I just wanted to say, with you being such a young fella, was this gal that you fell in love with, was she an older? What was the age difference?
Oh, yeah. She was, you know, so at the time I was 21 and I think she was 58.
Oh, so she was working at the school.
Oh, yeah. No, she was a professor in the drama department. department.
Was
she your professor?
No.
Oh, because if she had been your professor, that would have been some form of abuse, I think. You're not supposed to. Gals aren't supposed to sleep with their students.
Oh, but this is community college.
Oh, okay. Now, here's a question I was going to ask is, you know, because you have had some of these life experiences, was it difficult for you to get into the mind of Jesus, who lived to the age of 33 and remained completely sexually pure and didn't have a relationship with a woman? Were you able to get into that?
I'm sorry, what do you mean?
That I believe Jesus lived his whole life. He never sinned and he never was with a woman.
Oh, is that right? No, I don't think that's right.
Oh, really?
Did you learn something otherwise in your research?
No, not necessarily. I just can't imagine that's true.
Oh, is that maybe something you took from your bio thing that you wrote?
I did the research. And, you know, sometimes when you're dealing with older texts, they don't always give you the nitty gritty. So when I wrote my character bio, I made sure to include that a lot of Jesus's anger, you know, like, why does he throw the moneylenders out, right?
Yeah.
It's because he just got dumped.
Oh.
You know, it's just, he just got dumped and he's taking it out on someone else.
I see.
You know, he's such a, he's like, you know, he's a guy who is, and that's why I was so excited, because this is a passion play. And I remember my professor saying to me so clearly, you lack passion. And here I am, through the character of Jesus Christ, showing her and the world that Jesus fucks, you know?
I don't know.
Jesus fucks for the, you know, for the sake of, and not only does he fuck, but he's the best at it.
Okay.
You know, like, he's the best at it. Like, that's why, you know, I don't know if you guys were there during the rehearsal where we were running some of the extra scenes that I wrote.
Yeah.
Where we, you know, where it really is, like, where Jesus is talking to that, the older woman who tells him that he lacks the passion to be Lord, and he says to her, I'll show you passion. And he turns the headaches into orgasms.
Right. Yeah.
You know, because so often when Christ, he would transform something negative, you know, like the bread, he would transform it into fish, you know, and he would feed the many. But like, given something negative, like someone who always has a headache and doesn't want to like be physical or doesn't want to participate, you can turn that into orgasms. Right? That's the kind of Jesus that I'm presenting.
What do your parents think about you acting?
They are, they're going to be so supportive.
Oh.
When they see this.
Okay.
Yes.
So they're not quite.
When they see this, they're going to be so supportive. Right now, they are not talking to me. I did get them to come to my Death of a Salesman performance, which they thought was. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. My dad is one of the people who wrote the negative review. He's the, you know, here in Indianapolis, he's a, you know, a theater critic. And so he was, if I'm being honest, seemed to me to be personally savage.
I see.
In an effort to dissuade me from pursuing this as a career. And I'll be honest, I doubled down. And I'm going to show them, because they are both religious and theater fans. My dad's a radiologist, but you know, his true love is the theater. So I'm here to show them that I can both be your Lord and Savior, but also I can move you emotionally by giving you a Jesus who not only f**ks, but lives.
Right, right. So, you know, Mason, I'm wondering if you, you know, is there a chance that after playing this role and just really feeling the power of Jesus and Christ specifically moving in your life, are you going to use this role that you've done to really lead a life that emulates Christ, you know, after the performances are over?
Well, you know, yes and no, you know. Yes, I want to have the kind of legacy that Jesus Christ has. Look at us. We're still talking about him, what, 8,000 years later? I don't know. What is it? I don't know.
2,000 something.
Yeah, you know.
Okay.
About, you know.
So
okay.
So we're still talking about him. Like, we're still talking about him, right? So, like, I can imagine a future in which people are talking about my performance of Jesus thousands of years in the future, right? I want that kind of legacy. I want to have made that kind of impact, because then I can show it to my parents. Then I can show it to Margaret. There are a bunch of people who really need to know that I'm I can do this. Right. And once they're shown, they'll know it forever. Now, the part that I'm not as interested in is having to die in order to get it.
Okay.
Right. I would like to live. Not I don't want to be immortal. I mean, of course, I want to be immortal, but I want to be immortal, you know, in people's thoughts. But I want to live a long life. Like, I don't want to die at 33. You know what I mean? I want to live, you know, a long life and a successful life. You know,
totally.
I'd like to be able to play Jesus. Now, I'd like to be able to play Jesus in 10 years. I'd like to be able to play old Jesus. I mean, I'm writing, this has awoken something in me. I'm writing stories for Jesus. You know, you say Jesus died at 33. What if he didn't? What about Jesus is 55 and he's having trouble? He wants a divorce. His kid's a mess. Like, what about that? What about Jesus who's like door to door trying to sell carpentry and he comes home and his boys are a mess and his marriage is miserable and he can't get out of his own way? It's the death of a carpenter.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So kind of a similar story to Death of a Salesman.
Yeah, same character bio.
Oh, wow. Oh, interesting. I hadn't even thought of that.
And Virginia Woolf, I guess, too. Yeah, if they want a divorce.
Oh, I mean, Jesus and Mary, miserably married, you know, just at each other's throats. You know, two new people move into Jerusalem. They have them over for dinner. And these two young people, sadly, have to watch Jesus and Mary just tear each other to absolute shreds, right?
Right.
What they don't know is when they leave, you know, just like George and Martha, Jesus and Mary are going to like fuck hard, you know?
Well, wow, Mason, you know, I just had an image in my mind of someday if you, Mason, do die, like I guess we're all going to die, and you get to the pearly gates and you walk into heaven's gates and who's there waiting for you? But the real Jesus, and he looks at you and you look just like him. You're shredded. You're ripped. We can see your ribs and your lats
yep.
and your quads and
yep.
all that.
Blonde and, hair, blue eyes.
Yep. And he looks at you and he says, Mason, I think you did a great job. And he like, what if he gives you notes on your performance as him? And what if you get to ask him?
What I want, ideal would be to walk through those pearly gates. To see Jesus holding up his hand up top, and he just says, up top, you nailed it.
Oh.
He just says, you nailed it. And because it's, you know, nailed. It's like,
oh, right,
and
we
high five stigmata to stigmata because that's where the nails were.
And you actually
you know,
have
I now,
the stigmata.
I now have one because I tried it. And so, you know, now I know what it felt like,
wow.
You know, so I can represent it truthfully.
Wow.
So we'll high five stigmata hands and then, you know, then we'll just go into heaven like bros forever, I think.
I think that's an awesome image. And you know, Mason, I hope you can take that same promise of, you know, meeting with your creator in heaven. And I just want to get, you know, my prayer for you is that after this whole performance is over, people in the community are even saying that because your performance is so powerful, you know, and I hope your parents are saying that. I hope, what's her name? Margaret.
Margaret.
Maybe,
yeah.
Yeah. I hope Margaret is saying that, and I hope you guys can kind of figure it out.
I hope they show up. You know, I really hope they show up. I need them to show up for this because this is it, right? This
yeah.
is the role.
This is the role.
This is the role of a lifetime.
It really is.
For me, that I've been waiting for, and I'm pouring every bit of energy I have into this, and it's not just for me. It's for everybody. I'm giving of myself to everybody so that they can feel saved.
Wow.
Mason, you know, we do, and I can tell you're getting emotional, and I think it's awesome.
Sorry.
It's, you know,
it's part of my craft. My emotions are just always at the surface.
Right. You know, and a lot of people listen to this podcast, so I could even say, even if they don't come, if your parents don't come, or if Margaret doesn't come.
Wait, did they tell you they weren't coming? Wait, if my parents are listening right now, please come to the show. Margaret, please come. Please just come to the show. Everything you ever said will be disproven. You can see it's going to be different. It's going to be better. I just if you're hearing my voice, Just come to the show.
I love how in touch with your emotions you are as an actor, Mason. I just think that's probably so healthy. And I was going to ask you, why is it that people, you know, don't want their kids to go into acting? Why do people act like actors are, you know, like weird or narcissists or they're emotional or, you know, you got like you got people like Daniel Day-Lewis. If he was playing Jesus, he would probably only eat hummus and tabbouleh all week because he actually thinks he is Jesus. Like, what is with these actors?
I don't know why my parents don't approve of it or why other people wouldn't want their children to go into acting. It is a incredibly lucrative job where you can become super famous, more famous than like anybody else, like on Instagram or any of that stuff. It is like it's a place where here's what it is. I think those people are afraid. They're afraid that I'm going to become too powerful.
Ooh.
That I'm going to become too self-actualized, and I'm going to make them realize because they didn't follow their dreams, they're the bigger fools, right? They want all the parents and all the Margarets. They want me to settle. They say, "What's your real plan? What's your backup plan?
Yep.
What are you really going to do? How are you really going to make money? We can't keep writing you checks. We can't keep paying your car insurance. What are you really going to do? Why did you give up your paper route? You can still get your paper route back. What about that other job you had? What about liquor delivery? What about your uncle's pharmacy? Why can't you go and work at the nursing home you used to work at? What was that about? Why can't you work in any of the facilities in the greater Indianapolis area that are run by the Coca-Cola company? What's that ban about? Why don't you get a job that gives you something like a 401k or a retirement plan or puts into an IRA, a Roth IRA, any of these savings? Why haven't you saved anything? Why do you only spend your money on master classes with actors who aren't that famous or well known? And I get to say, fuck you.
Mason Janzoukas was played by Jason Manzoukas. Check him out on Big Mouth, The Good Place, The League, and so many other great projects. Oh, I love him so dearly. And definitely check out his incredible podcast, How Did This Get Made? I'm Holly Laurent playing Hallie Labonte, and Gray Haas was played by Greg Hess. Follow us and Mega the Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you really want to get out of hell free card, support us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes.